In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the first month of Tut, and the Church, in its tradition, every fifth Sunday of any Coptic month, it reads for us the readings of the five loaves and the two fish. And in this passage from the Gospel of John, we hear the Lord ask, you know, how are we going to feed them? Or where are we going to get the money to buy, to feed all of these individuals, all these people? And Andrew, the disciple, said, we have here a young lad who has five loaves of barley loaves and two small fish. Then he said something, what are these among so many? What are these among so many? Now I want to, for all of us to enter into this scenario. Right, you have 5,000 men plus the women and children, so maybe 20,000 people sitting there on the grass, right? And I want us to be this little young boy, right? Just a young little boy. And he has his snack that his mother made him with two small fish. Small fish is like this, right? It's enough for a snack, right? And then five barley loaves, right? Five small pieces of bread. And then the Lord Jesus and his immediate 12 men who are around him, they want to see how we can feed all of these people. The boy must have been close enough to them. And then he sees one of these 12 men who's leading all of these 20,000 people, says to him, what do you have there, young man? And he says, I have five barley loaves and two, you know, just two fish. So he takes them and he goes to the master while the boy is there. And he says, Master, this is all we have. Five barley loaves and two small fish. But what is this among so many? How would we feel if we were this young little boy? One of two ways. I will look at ourselves and I'll think to myself, of course it's not enough. Everything I do is not good enough. I've failed. I'm worthless. What is this? Or I can look and say to myself, being this young lad, you know, this is the little bit that I have, and maybe I'm willing to sacrifice it for someone else, but maybe God or the Lord and his disciples can use this and feed some or one. Or maybe the master will eat from it. But this is the little that I have and I'm willing to give it up. How we answer this question, being this young lad, sometimes will tell us whether I suffer from low self-esteem or I don't. The person who suffers from low self-esteem has a negative outlook and always thinks of themselves as unvaluable, and what they have and what they're capable of doing is not good enough. So over this week and perhaps next week, we'll speak a little bit about self-esteem, because this is a problem that I think is plaguing many of us, young and old alike. So we'll speak about what is self-esteem, is it synonymous with humility, and what leads us to developing so low self-esteem, or what are some of the contributing factors, and what are some of the consequences of having low self-esteem. And lastly, we'll speak about developing a healthy self-esteem. Self-esteem is defined as being the way we perceive ourselves or value ourselves. So how do I look at myself and how do I value myself? When I look in the mirror every morning, what do I say about myself? Do I accept myself or do I look at myself as always, يعني ناقص, يعني احنا نتكلم على صغر النفس particularly. And this is important for all of us. There are three main types of self-esteem that are out there. Some of this might have some psychology, but I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to attempt to, but I'm trying to tie it spiritually. The first is like we can have an inflated self-esteem. And this person thinks of themselves better than other people. يعني this type of person, شايف نفسه أحسن من اللي حواليه. Right? I'm better than the people who are around me. And they always underestimate the people who are with them. يعني ممكن أفكر نفسي أنا بعرف أنا فاهم الأحسن واحد. I'm the one who understands and nobody else around me understands. And if there's a job to be done, I'm the only one that can do it right. Right? This is an inflated self-perception or self-esteem. King Herod was one of these individuals. In the book of Acts, it says in Acts chapter 12 that there was a set day where Herod came to give an oration. He came to give a speech. So he dressed himself in royal apparel and he came on his throne to say his speech. And then after he gave his speech, the crowd started saying, "The voice of a God and not of man, the voice of a God and not of man." They started hailing him, right, as if he was a god. And this something wasn't uncommon, because back then Caesar was considered a god, right? A god was in, like on earth, a god on earth. So Herod, he began to, and he liked this because it made him as if he was Caesar. And he didn't rebuke the people, but he took this and he saw himself as being a god. Then what happened? It says, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died." So this person, Herod, he looked at himself with this inflated self-esteem. He was greater than who he really was. We also have high self-esteem. These people tend to love themselves, and they believe in themselves and their abilities. So they understand themselves, they know what they can do and what they can't do, and they believe and trust in their abilities of what they can do. And what they can't do, they'll say, "Marash." Right? Sometimes I know in our culture, حكاية معرفش دي is like a bad word. Right? استحالة. How can one person say معرفش? I can ifti, right? I can make up something, but I will never say I don't know. And I've experienced this firsthand in Egypt, when trying to get direction. No one will tell you they don't know where they're going. But they have to make up something. Trusting that when you get to that place, they have no idea where you're going, you're going to ask somebody else. And maybe that person might know where to go. So this person of high self-esteem is confident in their abilities. And typically if there's a challenge that meets them, they'll usually have the confidence to overcome it. This is a healthy form of self-esteem. However, this type of self-esteem can be entangled with pride. It can be entangled with pride. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, because this particular type of self-esteem needs to be protected by a humble heart. And we'll speak about this in the latter part of the sermon. Lastly is the low self-esteem. This is what we'll focus on today. People with low self-esteem don't believe in themselves, and they don't trust in their abilities to accomplish a certain task, and they don't ultimately value themselves. They don't look at themselves as being somebody who is of value. And because of that, they care about their life in this way of feeling that I'm a failure. And to be honest, what we value is really who we are. Or we value, we are what we value. We are what we value. I'll give you an example. If I value, for example, good looks, if I'm pretty or I'm handsome, when I wake up in the morning and I look at myself and I see myself as being pretty or handsome, then I think to myself that I'm valuable. If I'm the type who values athletics, right? When I step out on the football field or on the soccer field or whatever, I play well and I score a goal or lead the team in scoring or whatever, I look at myself as being valuable. If I look at maybe the arts, if I look at, you know, drawing or playing music or singing, and I can attain any of these, and this is exactly what I value, then I'll look at myself and value myself, right? So what we value is really who we are. Some people, when you look, though, you'll find, from our perspective, they have it all. You have a person who is maybe charming, who's good-looking, who's good at sports, who's talented, who has many gifts, who's intelligent, and maybe funny. You say this person has got it all. So why wouldn't they have, high self-esteem? And then you'll find somebody on the other side who sometimes seems to have nothing. Perhaps nothing. If you look at maybe the man who is at the pool of Bethesda, who was paralyzed for 38 years. This man has been sitting there for 38 years, unable to move himself or roll himself into the water. So meaning what? He probably is not feeding himself, right? He's not going out, hanging out with anybody. His social life is probably nil, right? And this is evident because he had no one to even push him into the water. So for all intents and purposes, we look at this person and we say, he has nothing. He has nothing. Not even friends. But just because a person doesn't have anything does not make them worthless, right? Just because somebody may not have nothing It doesn't make him worthless. And by the way, on a side note, and we'll get to this again later, there's nobody who has nothing. We all have something. But it's just about our eye and our heart to see and perceive that. The reality is, though, some of us, or most of us, if not all of us, have experienced at least moments in our life of feeling that we're not valued, or experiencing this low self-esteem. كلنا باستثناء يعني يمكن يعني حسنا بصغر النفس نفس at one point in our life or another. How we see ourselves is the foundation of how we see everything else in life. ازاي واحد يبص على نفسه, how he sees himself, من خلال this هشوف كل حاجة في العالم. In the book of Proverbs it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. For how I look at myself in my heart springs the issues of life. I'll see the rest of the world based on how I see myself. It acts like a filter. I will see the world based on in comparison to me. And a lot of times, you know, how I look at myself will determine when I meet a challenge, will I face it with bravery and courage, or will I face it and shrink away and try to hide in a corner, right? All based on how I perceive myself, my self-esteem. And it's not about size, it's not about strength, it's not about intelligence, because you could have somebody who has high self-esteem who's not the biggest guy in the class. Look at David, right? David, when he went to meet Goliath, he wasn't the biggest soldier, right? He was a young lad, right? But he looked at himself and knew exactly, I have a skill that I've honed in while I'm a shepherd and keeping away all of the bears and lions and so on from the sheep, that I've honed in this skill and I can shoot this stone pretty accurately. Right? He didn't deny it, but he looked at himself and says, yes, this is what my talent is, this is what I have, and I trust in the Lord God and He will deliver me from this man. And he, being small, went against a giant. So is self-esteem, a low self-esteem, synonymous with humility? هل الصغر النفس هي الاتضاع ولا لا? The answer is clearly it's not. Humility is more of lowering oneself in relation to others, or it's having a clear perspective of my place in context. Having a clear perspective of my place in context. When I'm in my family, I'm the child. Or I'm the adult. I'm the responsible party. Right? When I'm with my friends, I'm one of them. Right? So knowing myself and my place within the context. This is humility. I clearly see who I am at all different phases of my life. And to kind of give an image of this and explain this, I'll give two examples. One of low self-esteem from scripture and one of humility. For Moses, for example, suffered from low self-esteem. Do you remember in the burning bush when the Lord was speaking to Moses, telling him to go and deliver the people of Israel and go back to Pharaoh? When God tells him and tells him to go, the first thing he says is, who am I? I'm an 80-year-old man, you know, here in the wilderness. I have my wife and my children, and I'm who am I? Who am I that's going to go back and face Pharaoh and his army? Then it says, no, I'll be with you. Don't worry. I'll be with you. I'll stand by you. And then he says, okay, what if the people ask your name? What will I tell them? When the people ask me, who is it that sent you? What should I say? He's like, don't worry. If they ask who has sent you, tell them that I am sent you. His name was I am. Tell him I am sent you. So he says, okay. And then he says, no, not me. And he says, but what if they don't believe me? What if when I speak, they don't believe me? He says, well, okay, I'll have you do a sign and a wonder in front of them. You'll throw your rod and it'll turn into a serpent and so on. Everything will be okay. And he's like, no. But I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I can't talk. I stutter. Then what happens after this? You see this kind of repetitive action? And mind you, the scripture says that Moses grew in the house of Pharaoh and was educated with all the education and wisdom of the Egyptians, right? So he was fortunate. He had a great education while he was in the house of Pharaoh. And he was mighty in speech, is what God says. But then Moses said what? Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Then it says what? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God got upset with him. Why? Because he didn't see himself as he truly was. He didn't see himself as he truly was. Finally, when he's finally submitted to God's command, and he began to go into the back to Pharaoh, he began to realize who he was. I'm a vessel in the hand of God. So everything that God told him to do, he would go do. When he met with something, he'd go back to God. This is what God wanted, right? So Moses suffered from moments of low self-esteem. How about humility? If we look at St. Paul, for example, who describes himself as being one who was born out of time, because he was an apostle, but he wasn't one of the disciples. It was only after Christ's death and resurrection that he became a believer even, and then an apostle. So he said of himself that one is born out of due time. Then he says what? In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles." So he looks himself as being the least of the apostles. Yes, because the others witnessed to the Lord and served with him. "Who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." So he doesn't deny the fact that one day he used to persecute the Christians and persecute the church. So this is the reality. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." By what? "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so you believe." Look at here at his humility. He doesn't deny any of the facts, right? He doesn't deny that he persecuted the church, that he was born out of due time. He is the least of the apostles. But then he doesn't also deny the fact that he labored more than they all, right? That he's going from one place to another. He was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all of these things more than they all. He doesn't deny this, right? But then when it comes to these things, perhaps that we might think or praise, what does he say? "By the grace of God, I am what I am. But the grace of God which was with me." So he attributes all of these things that happened to him, this was the grace of God. So this is humility. He knows his place within context. He is the least of the apostles, but yet he was persecuted all, and he endured all by the grace of God. Lastly, we'll speak this morning about what leads us to develop low self-esteem. What leads us to develop low self-esteem? يعني ال يعني سبب الصغير النفس يعني ايه اللي خلي واحد يعني يكبر بحسة كده يعني مش شايف نفسه بلا قيمة. Actually, the greatest impact of low self-esteem occurs in childhood. Occurs in childhood. واحنا صغيرين. I'm going to say a few things واحنا نسمع حاجات كده. عايزين كلنا نفكر كده على نفسينا ويمكن على our own childhood. بعدين نفكر شوية على our own kids. احنا بنعمل ايه مع عيالنا. What we do with our own children. Number one is the disapproval from authority figures or parents. This doesn't mean that we don't rebuke our children or anything, but this is the constant harshly criticizing or yelling at the children. يعني if كل حاجة we tell our children كل حاجة غلط وكل حاجة منزعق فيها, this makes them feel like they're not good enough. Yes, some of us and all of us, perhaps we raise our voice in our children and we discipline them harshly at times. But this is the consistent. If you look at myself and say, every time I speak to my child, I'm yelling or screaming or punishing. What do you think the result is going to be? It will be low self-esteem. They always feel that they're not good enough, right? And this will extend to how they deal with the rest of the world. Number two is the emotionally distant parent. The emotionally distant parent. I don't know this in Arabic, but there's no emotions between you and mom or baba. One or the other, right? Maybe there's a parent, مش موجود أصلاً في البيت, right? And doesn't care to talk. There can be somebody maybe who's traveling, but they're still connected emotionally. I call them every day. I ask about them. I care about their feeling. I ask them to describe how they're feeling when they look upset or they're bothered. There's this emotional connection. So when there's a disconnect emotionally between parents and children, this could lead to low self-esteem. And by the way, احنا ممكن نبقى في البيت, بس we're not really home. I can be home, but never notice my child when they're, come in and they're upset or bothered or whatever, and I don't even care to ask. I'm busy with this is what dad needs to do, this is what mom needs to do, and these are the tasks I do, and there's this disconnect. So this emotionally disconnected with their children can lead to low self-esteem. Physical or emotional abuse, and even sexual abuse, can also lead to low self-esteem. لو حد يعني بيدرب على طول يعني عيال, when their children are spanked يعني frequently, this can lead them to this low self-esteem. Because they associate with every time I'm being spanked, that this is a catastrophe. So sometimes, maybe as parents, just from our own frustration, the kid spilled something يعني on the table. It was an accident. And I go and I بجيب الشبشب ورميه عليه. Or I take and I spank him. Or do something like this. So he looks at everything and every mistake in my life as a catastrophe. طبعاً, somebody who lives like this, will they think of themselves highly? Never. Never. Every mistake I make is a catastrophe. And this is where we need to be very careful. I speak to myself first. Is we need to make a great distinction between what is sinful and what is a mistake and what is like just a careless mistake. Right? We can't equate our response with sin the same as a mistake. Right? And the penalty should be different. Right? And ممكن لما يكسر الكوباية ولا حاجة, we tell them, حبيبي, be more careful, مش عارف إيه. We can say, okay, you don't touch these and you use the plastic or whatever. We can make these things. So my response to be the same as, يعني, as if they sinned, this needs to be, يعني, we need to, يعني, look at this carefully. Also, the next is, divorce, infasal, contentious divorce between parents. Why? Because oftentimes, لما في مشاكل ما بين ماما وبابا, the children blame themselves. They say, عشان أنا, يعني, عملت كذا, وماما وبابا متخانقين مع بعض. Right? And this has nothing to do with the child aslan, right? It's the parent's responsibility. That's why, yani, over and over again we hear, the parents should not be, yani, arguing with one another in front of the children, as much as possible. If there's something that needs further discussion, we do this later. But if there's any kind of, yani, fasal in the family, or this even emotional gap between mom and dad, the kids feel it's their fault. It's their fault. And believe me, if they don't say it, they pick up on it 100%. 100%. My children, my young children, if just my face isn't right, like if I'm not smiling at them, and I have a serious face, it's not, I'm thinking about something, I'm completely different for khidmah or anything, and I have this serious face on my face, you'll come and say, Baba, what's that face for? And he's like, why? Because and I asked him why. And he said, because I think you're mad at me. No, I'm not mad at you, right? I'm not even thinking about you, right? But they pick up on it. For yani any kind of discrepancy yani that they find between the parents, they pick up on, and of course they blame themselves for it. The next is bullying with no parental protection. لو حد يعني كده بيضايقهم and bothers them and is really troubling to them, and they find mom and baba as if they, yani, they don't care. They don't feel that mom and dad are protecting them, right? And sometimes, the children, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to be snitches. But then they hold it in. But then when they share it with us, you know, do they feel like, okay, when they got to the point they're going to share it with us, and I do nothing, or as if I don't care, this makes them feel vulnerable, or makes them feel that they're not protected, they're not safe. But again, this could lead to low self-esteem. I will feel that I'm not protected, I'm not safe. How can I be confident? How can I be, I look at myself highly. Also for those, yani, who value academics, or, you know, being successful in school. Well, طبعاً, a lot of us as parents, we put high, yani, emphasis on this. But if, yani, if a kid is struggling in school, yani, this could lead him or her, yani, to feel, yani, kid, I'm not good enough, or I'm not, yani, able enough. هنا we برضو need to make a distinction كده as parents, is that يعني, we need to applaud the child's effort and not the grade. It's one thing if a child يعني is working very diligently and very hard, and we see this ومش بدلعوا يعني, and they get a B. We need to applaud the B or applaud the C, whatever it is that they are capable of getting. But then when we see them diddly daddling and they're not doing good, or they're not really putting all their effort, and they get a 90. Then we could say, okay, why didn't you do better? Not because the grade wasn't good, but because the effort wasn't there. Right? So we need to focus on the effort, not the grade. Because what happens? The kid could be working very hard. وَحْنَا فِي نَفْسِنَا. Okay, if they don't get a 97 or above, fashion. He's like a failure. Right? This is a very high standard. Right? So the kid finds, okay, then I only find value when I'm 97 or above. And when I get below this, I'm worthless. Because this is what Mama Baba taught me. That my value comes from my grades. If we find the kid will do only everything in his power or her power to get good grades, only to be accepted, right? But the things, other things in life will suffer, and they'll look at themselves poorly. The day that they get a bad grade, they'll look at themselves poorly. Also, guilt associated with faith. This can be young and adult, young and old as well. When I look at my life in relation to my faith, type, Rabbina's standard is be holy. When I always shave nafsi, I can't be holy. Maybe because I think or I perceive that I can be perfect. But if I recognize that I'm human, I will make mistakes and I'll sin. But by God's grace, He gave me repentance and confession. To go and repent and confess and to restore Him, and He will always open His arms to me. Then when I understand this in the right way, then I won't have this guilt, and I won't have this low self-esteem. Nor will it, you know, keep me from serving others and serving in the church. Not at all, right? Because I know I'm not depending on myself, but I'm depending on God's mercy. So sometimes the guilt in our spiritual life with God and our faith can lead us to low self-esteem. Also, the social beauty standards can lead us to low self-esteem. And unfortunately, social media plays a detrimental role in this. The social media plays a detrimental role. There was a study done in 2019 in a journal called the JAMA Psychiatry that looked at social media use in about 6,500 adolescents. And what did it find? It found that adolescents spending more than 3 hours per day using social media were at increased risk for mental health problems, internalizing problems, keeping things in themselves, and all the things they kept in themselves included anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, negative self-image, and loneliness. So they found a correlation between the time we spend on social media and how one looks at oneself. Why is this? If you look at what people post on social media, they post the best of everything, and even what is best is even altered with Photoshop, right? So people look amazing, more amazing online than they do in person. So what happens when I look to this? It redefines my standard of beauty and my standard, especially for the young ladies. This affects the young ladies most, Yani. It affects, my standard for what is beautiful has been altered. Not only to something that, is high, but most often than not, impossible to attain. We hear about all sorts of beautifying surgeries now. It's just incredible. The surgery after surgery to try to get myself to look like somebody who is photoshopped, right? It's almost nearly impossible. So if I have this and I'm always looking at social media, and this is a standard that I have, then I always look at myself as being what? I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not acceptable enough, right? It's very, very, dangerous that when this normal, these things that are redefined in ways that are nearly impossible to attain. Also, they found that these high use of social media, when I look at myself and I can't attain this, is linked to a high rate of anorexia, which is where I look at myself as always overweight, right? You can have somebody who's thin, but when they look at themselves, they say, no, I'm overweight. Even the people who are like a toothpick, they look at themselves as being as if they're overweight. I remember when I was doing my training, there was a young boy who was about 16 years old, and he was really given a hard time and bullied by his friends at school because he was overweight. But when I was in the hospital, he was there being treated because he wasn't eating, and he maybe weighed like 120 pounds, and they had to have somebody with him like in the bathroom to watch him after he eats, so he doesn't, vomit what he ate. He always looked at himself as being overweight, although he was so skinny. But because of the trauma and the low self-esteem, he always felt no, there's something, I'm not good enough. Right? So this can be really be any traumatizing. Lastly is the unrealistic goal setting. Setting goals that are unrealistic, right? Or unachievable. What happens if I set goals that are too high from the very beginning? I'll never achieve them. And with every failed or being underachieved, then this tells me I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm a failure. Right? So we need to set goals that are achievable. Take small increments and achieve them. And then once you do this, then you can go on to the next thing. I remember I watched a really nice video. I think it was a commencement by one of the military members at UT one time. And he was speaking like, and when he was in military training, they always taught them to make their bed in the morning. Right? And this was the very first thing that they do. They should make their bed in the morning. Why? He said, so when you go out and you have a horrible day and everything is like goes wrong and you fail, you come back and you see that, no, there's something that I succeeded at. And that's a made bed, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I go to sleep, right? So we see, he started off with something very simple, but he achieved it, right? So that way, when the rest of the day is failure, he comes back and closes the day with what? An achievement, right? It's an achievement. Unrealistic goal setting can lead to low self-esteem. By God's grace, next week we'll speak about the consequences, what are the results of low self-esteem, and lastly, how can we develop a healthy self-esteem? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.